Welcome to the first ever APA podcast. We're going to be doing these podcasts to inform our clients on issues in the muni market and also to educate on certain issues that we often have questions on. And today, I have Paul Nolan here with us, who is the head of research for APA. My name is Kevin Woods. I'm head trader and portfolio manager here at APA. And we're going to be talking about credit today. Some of the issues that we get into with clients and some of the questions we have from them, a lot of it pertains to credit research right now. So, Paul, why don't we start off with you giving us a little bit about your background and how you got into being a municipal analyst?
My background is prior to coming to APA, I worked for 5 years at McDonald Investment Management, an asset management firm with about $7 billion. And assets under management, as a research analyst specializing in healthcare, but also covered all sectors. And prior to that, where I really got my experience was with Moody's Investor Service, where I spent a little over five years as an analyst covering local governments in the states of Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, but was on committee for issuers all over the country. And then prior to that, I spent 3 years at New York City Council as a budget analyst. And I have a master's degree in urban and public policy from the New School for Social Research in New York, and I have an undergraduate degree in political science.
Well, let's start off with, we've had some major changes to the municipal market over the past 5 years, and so I guess the first question is, you know, how has credit research changed from 5 years ago?
Well, it's changed dramatically, Kevin. Given recent default headlines with Meredith Whitney calling for hundreds of billions in defaults, the potential for downgrades from rating agencies and changes in rating scales, and a continued decline in bond insurance, investors and credit analysts need to be even more diligent in analyzing a credit when they're evaluating issuers' ratings. And again, we're doing two things. We're assessing the ability and their willingness to pay. And your question is, what changed? What's changed in the last 5 years? I think there's some very key credit fundamentals that have changed. The main change was that revenues have been stressed at the local level, particularly at school districts and cities and counties, as entities are being forced to do more with less. And the reason being is property taxes have been lagging. There's an 18 to 24 month roughly period to where property taxes lag the actual revenue performance. And you've got expense pressures as well in terms of OPEB and other post-employment benefits, health care, and just general government operation. On the revenue side, too, you had sales taxes declining because people were spending less after October of 2008 when the economy started to underperform. The other factor is that state and federal aid has been reduced, and there's been political pressures through the Tea Party movement to have taxes overall reduced, and there's been a tendency to not increase fees because of the Tea Party movement as well. So you couple that with, again, the rating agencies moving to a global scale. Moody's and Fitch did so in 2010. And S&P proposing it a few months ago in 2012 to move to a global scale. There's a potential for downgrade or underperformance is much greater in the last 5 years, prior to the last 5 years. And I think the other key component is bond insurance. You know, in 2005, you had roughly 58% of the market utilizing bond insurance or issuing a wrap. Now, the last statistic we've seen is down to 5%.
And you're starting to go into my next question, and that is, you know, with the disappearing of insurance from the market, how has that affected credit research on your side?
Well, you eliminate the AAA wrap that was, you know, 58% of issuers were utilizing the insurance. It was an affordable way to get cheap access to capital and opening up your bonds to a retail investor. So let's say you have a BBB hospital that if an individual has a guideline that they cannot accept anything below an A- in their portfolio, they'd be more likely to pass on that BBB bond because they can't have it in their portfolio. So what happens is you have fewer people vying for that bond, which increases the cost to the issuer. What it does from our standpoint is we have to be even more due diligence, because I think it talks more to trading, Kevin, is how has this affected the trading market as well?
Well, I mean, it's put a big emphasis on bond selection than it was before. Not everything is AAA anymore with insurance. So bond selection was very easy before. You could have an A or AA underlying with a AAA insurer. But so I know that since insurance has left, it's definitely put a lot of of more emphasis on the credits research in your team. It's a lot harder to, it's a lot easier to make a mistake on a credit. So we have, you know, our processes here, if you want to explain a little bit more on how you go about choosing the right credits, even though insurance is gone, how do you go about doing that?
And I think a key there too, Kevin, is that at APA, we never looked at the insurer. We were always concerned with the underlying credit quality. Now, I can't say that for the rest of the market. I haven't worked anywhere. I worked at McDonald Investments. Same philosophy. You focus. I was trained to focus on the credit fundamentals. So from our standpoint, insurance didn't matter. When we're referring to the change, we're referring more to the market as a whole. It really affected the market. On a day-to-day credit analysis basis, our policies here at APA have never changed in terms of underlying credit fundamentals, whether it's a GL or a revenue or a sales tax. Underlying credit fundamentals, bottom-up, is key to credit selection.
Well, you know, I think I want to take it in a little different direction here and go into a little bit about, in detail, how do you look at a GO bond compared to a revenue bond? How is your research and the way you look at a GO bond different than the way you look at a revenue bond?
Sure. A GO bond, again, we're doing two functions here at APA. We're assessing their ability and their willingness to pay. Those are two very different factors. Their ability is, you look at a GO bond, you look at credit fundamentals, a bottom-up approach. So if you were looking at, let's say, a GO issuer, we'll use the city of Atlanta, you'd look at population demographics, you'd look at wealth levels, you'd look at the size of the tax base. Is it growing? Is it decreasing? What's their collection rates? You want to see 95, 98% collection rates. You then would look at the bottom line, which is the finances. And the key there is a lot of the rating agencies will use general fund balance. It's not a good indicator. The better indicator is days cash on hand. It's literally how much cash they have in the bank to cover their expenses. And the idea there is the cash is king. The more cash in the bank, the stronger, generally speaking, the credit. So that's the GO fundamentals. Then you look at debt levels. And we use a system here called CreditScope, which is a database system that provides all the data we need. So again, we don't have to rely on the rating agencies for their reports. We're able to go in and assess the credit quality from a bottom-up approach using our own numbers. The numbers are provided by CreditScope, and it allows us to analyze the credit from a bottom-up and to really assess what we think that rating is. Now, how does that differ from a revenue bond? Well, revenue bond, I think the key, and we're really stressing the purchase of revenue bonds right now, because there's covenants in place. There's very strong covenants on revenue pledges, such things as additional bonds test or a rate covenant, which means you have to keep a debt service coverage level at a certain rate, and if it falls below, typically it's about 1.2 times coverage, you have to bring in a third party and increase your water rates or your sewer rates or whatever the security is to get to that 1.2 times coverage. So there's built-in covenants in a revenue stream where, again, on a GO, you have willingness and ability. It's basically credit is man's faith in man. It's ability and willingness. And a GO used to be, you know, the gilded golden age edge that to get a rating, a GO was more than enough. Well, we're not seeing that anymore because you're starting to see, as I outlined earlier, stresses on GOs.
Are you seeing it easier to predict revenue streams from revenue bonds than GO revenue streams?
Yes, and that's a very key point. You can definitely, because with sales tax, you can't predict buyer behavior. You know, if you have an entity where their largest revenue source is typically on a local credit, it's usually property taxes or sales taxes. You can't really predict. You can get a sense of property taxes and what's going to come in, but as many know, assessing a property is one of the greatest mysteries in Muni land.
And I'm sure foreclosures are hurting, you know,
exactly,
revenue predictions for ad valorem taxes.
Exactly. And you couple in the increase in foreclosures, you can't really predict your property taxes. Sales taxes, same thing. It's difficult for an entity to try and predict. And there's been a push from the sell side to get more information from these issuers on forecasts. And you'll see it in larger issuers. But again, it's much more difficult to predict the revenue stream on a property or sales tax, which typically is backing your GO, versus a revenue. You know that, let's say, the city of Atlanta Water is going to have, you know, 100,000 customers, 100,001. You can predict the revenue stream. And plus, you add the capital budgets, you know, these projects for water, sewer, electric take years, 5 to 10 years to get approved. and they're dealing with engineers, which is built right into the system. So you know what your expenses are going to be much more accurately than a local issuer can, and you know what your revenue streams are. So it's much easier for us to analyze a credit on the revenue stream and predict what the revenue is going to be, to where if we start to see a downward trend, you see it much quicker in a revenue than you do on a GL.
So, I mean, let's give our listeners a little bit on what states and credits are you most concerned about right now. I know we get this question quite a bit from our advisor clients on what states are you staying away from and what credits are you very concerned with.
Well, you know, I'm a movie buff, Kevin, and one of my favorite movies is The Usual Suspects. I think that's the case here. The Usual Suspects are Ohio and Michigan. Again, it's not to say these states that we're discussing that we wouldn't purchase bonds. We're just a little bit more selective in our purchases. So I would say Ohio and Michigan. Illinois is probably my biggest concern. And the problem with Illinois is that they increase their income taxes, but they also increase their revenue or expenses. And the other two states I would say would be Missouri and California we're very concerned with. And states that we like, I try to focus on the positive. New York, Texas, Florida's only so-so. They still haven't quite recovered from the real estate bottoming out. And Virginia and North Carolina are two other states that we really like right now. And again, as Kevin mentioned earlier and I mentioned, we're really changing over to some revenues, looking at revenue bonds versus general obligation bonds.
And one last thing on the GO side. How do you feel about smaller local GOs, let's say in the states we're staying away from, let's say like California? I'm sure you're very concerned about smaller local GOs.
Particularly local school districts, where again you have a fixed set of costs and you have revenue pressures from property taxes lagging the economy anywhere from 18 to 24 months. Collection rates are lagging behind, and you've got, you know, your number one expense for a school district is teachers. And you've got these large expense pressures coupled with revenue declines, possible state cutbacks, federal cutbacks. I'm more concerned at the local level, particularly school districts in these states, and frankly in many states, than I am than any other issue. I would say that's the issue that we're most concerned with, would be local credit, particularly school districts.
Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for your time today, and I hope we can do a couple more of these podcasts in the future, especially on credit. I know that's a big concern of a lot of our clients, and we'll get into other areas too. Thank you, guys.